Why don't we turn over to the last part of the book of Matthew? And Jesus gave the church a great commission, it's called. And in Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus came and spoke to them and said, "All power has been given to me," and some translations say, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth." Now in verse 19, "You go, therefore, and teach all nations," talking to his disciples whom he had taught and trained for 3.5 years, and they had received the education that Jesus gave them. You know, Jesus said in one place, he said, I only speak as God the Father wants me to. Everything that I speak is what the Father wants me to speak. And that's in the book of John. You could look that up. But Jesus taught his disciples, and he gave them the training, the education that comes from God the Father. Now that's why Mr. Armstrong raised up Ambassador College, to give the students the education that comes down from God, God the Father through Jesus Christ. And Mr. Armstrong often compared an Ambassador College education to the training that Jesus gave his disciples for 3.5 years. An Ambassador education, when the college was on the right track, was similar or analogous to the disciples being taught by Jesus. Anyway, so the disciples were trained for those 3.5 years. Now Jesus tells them, "Now you go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." You can read 1 Corinthians 12 about the church, that we are all baptized by one Spirit into the church of God. It's something you're baptized into, the church of God, by the Holy Spirit. Anyway, Jesus says in verse 20, teaching them, now you see, there's an educational process going on here. Jesus teaches the disciples who became the apostles, and then they in turn teach the converts that God draws into the church. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. In other words, pass that teaching on to others. The same education that comes down from God the Father. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and I will be with you always, even until the end of the age. So this is going to be an ongoing process, going right down to our time and clear on to the second coming of Christ. Now the church should have the same knowledge and education that the original church had 2,000 years ago. And this is the Great Commission. Okay, let's go back to Matthew 22. Matthew 22 and verse 36. Matthew 22, 36. Someone came up to Jesus and said, "Master, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Now Jesus wants the church to have this information here. These are the two greatest commandments that come down from God the Father. And then backing up to Matthew 19, in verse 16, One came up to Jesus and said, "Good Master, what good thing shall I do in order to inherit eternal life?" And in verse 17 at the end, Jesus said, "If you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." And the young man asked him, "Which ones?" And Jesus said, "You shall not kill, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Now Jesus quoted 5 of the 10 commandments and 1 of the 2 great commandments. And by implication, he was saying, keep the 2 great commandments and the 10 commandments if you want to enter into eternal life. And backing up now to the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 5, in verse 17, Jesus said, "Don't think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I have not come to destroy, but to fulfill." In other words, he didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill Bible prophecy. "For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass," in other words, until the new heaven and earth comes, "not one jot or one tittle shall pass from the law until all," and I will inject the Bible prophecies, "have been fulfilled." In other words, clear until the end of this age and the beginning of the next age, which will be the new heaven and earth, the new world, clear until that time, not one jot or one tittle will perish from God's law. Now verse 19, "Whoever therefore shall break any one of even the least commandments." Now wait a minute, what are the least commandments? Now we read how Jesus talked about the great commandments, the 2 great commandments. Well, those are the greatest commandments. And he talked about the 10 commandments too. But what are these least commandments? Well, it's what he's talking about in the Sermon on the Mount here. Now, you see, the 10 commandments are like a riverbed. And God's Holy Spirit is living water that flows down the riverbed. And there's such a thing as the spirit of the law as well as the letter of the law. And when you put all the scriptures together, it's not enough to keep merely the letter of the law. You must keep also the spirit of the law, and it all goes together. In fact, the whole law of God is summarized by the word love. And that is a giant principle that covers every human action, even our thoughts. God's law is love, subdivided into the 2 great commandments, and then further subdivided into the 10 commandments. And each one of the 10 commandments is in itself a giant principle that covers every aspect of how we should act and think. So Jesus magnified the law. And there's a scripture in Isaiah, I believe it's chapter 42, that says, "He will come and magnify God's law." Jesus would do that. And that's what he's doing in the Sermon on the Mount. So whoever breaks even one of the least commandments that Jesus is talking about in the Sermon on the Mount, and shall teach other people that it's okay to break the least commandments, anybody who does that will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. And it doesn't say he'll be in the kingdom of heaven, but he will be called least by those who are in the kingdom of heaven, those who say that it's okay to break even the least commandments. That's why at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, well, many will come to me and say, "Lord, Lord, you know, haven't we spoken in your name and done many wonderful works. And he said, but I don't know you. You have taught anomia, or, you know, that it's okay not to keep God's law. And he will reject those people. But those who do and keep God's commandments will be in God's kingdom. And, you know, Jesus taught that we should walk on that straight, narrow path that leads to life, and not to listen to false teachers who teach that it's okay to depart from that straight and narrow path that leads to life. We've covered those scriptures at the end of the Sermon on the Mount previously, so I don't want to go there tonight. But whoever breaks one of the least commandments and teaches men it's okay to do that will be called least. But whoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. And then he adds, I say to you that unless your righteousness is greater than the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, the Pharisees looked good on the outside. They put on a good show, but Jesus had a lot to say about the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. Okay, now he gives an example, verse 21, of the least commandments. You have heard that it was said by those of old time, thou shalt not kill. Well, that's the letter of the law. And it's still wrong to kill today. If somebody goes out and kills somebody, well, the police will catch them and put them in jail and possibly give them a capital punishment. It's wrong to kill people. But you have to do even more than just not kill people. You have heard that it was said, thou shalt not kill, and whoever shall kill will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother for no reason shall be in danger of the judgment. Now that's one of the least commandments. You're not supposed to be angry at people for no reason. See, you could go through your whole life and never kill anybody. What about your attitude towards people, and if you're angry at people for no reason? So whoever says, uses a bad term like you fool or you idiot or something and insults somebody like that will be in danger of God's judgment. Okay, now that's one of the least commandments. See, God's law goes right into the heart of the matter. Why did Cain kill Abel? It's because he hated him. He was angry at his brother for no reason. And he wound up killing him. See, so murder starts in the heart. And God wants to write his laws on our hearts and in our minds. And the first fruit of God's Holy Spirit is love. And then there's joy and peace. And it's an attitude that comes from God through the Holy Spirit, that God wants to plant that attitude of love in our hearts and minds. And if God's Holy Spirit is in you, Paul taught that you'll automatically be keeping the letter of the law. And then in verse 27, you've heard that it was said before, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust after her has committed adultery in his heart. And then he goes on from there. So God's law goes right into the heart. It's all about our spirit and attitude and thoughts. Let's go over to the book of James, chapter 2. In verse 8, if you fulfill or keep the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you're doing well. Now, that's the second great commandment. Remember, we read what Jesus said about the two great commandments. And the first one is to love God with all of your heart. And then the second one is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments, all the rest of the law hang. In other words, they're subdivisions of the two great commandments. And they're all summarized by the word love. Now, if you keep the royal law, which means the golden rule, the perfect law, treat other people the way you want them to treat you. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you follow that rule, you're doing well. In fact, in Matthew 7, verse 12, Jesus said that rule summarizes everything that the law and the prophets want to teach you. In Matthew 7, verse 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. In other words, it's the golden rule. Treat other people the way you want them to treat you. This is the summary of the law and the prophets. And then the very next verses talk about entering God's kingdom on the straight and narrow path. Not the broad path that leads to destruction, but the straight and narrow path. Because the straight and narrow path is the Ten Commandments, and the Holy Spirit flows down that riverbed. You don't want to depart from God's law, you see. All right, back to James chapter 2, verse 8. If you fulfill that golden rule, the second great commandment, treat other people the way you want them to treat you, you're doing well. Verse 9, but if you have respect unto persons, in other words, if you treat some people well, like if they're rich, but if you treat the poor people badly, because they're not rich, if you read the first seven verses, that's what it's talking about. If you have respect to persons, you know, Mr. Armstrong once said that the carnal mind likes about half the people that it knows, and it hates the other half. Well, that breaks God's law, you see. If you only talk to people that you like, and you don't talk to the others, that's not God's way. And Jesus mentioned that in the Sermon on the Mount. God sends his sunshine on the good and the evil. But if you have respect of persons, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. What law? Well, the second great commandment, the royal law, the law of love. For whoever keeps the whole law but offends in one point, he is guilty of all. For he who said, "Do not commit adultery," also said, "Do not kill." Now, if you commit no adultery, but if you kill, you have become a transgressor of the law. See, because you've broken one point of the law. If you keep the seventh commandment, but you break the sixth commandment, you've broken God's law. It only takes breaking one point to inject sin into your mind and character. So what about breaking the second great commandment? That's one point of God's law. So if you fail to love everybody just as much as you love yourself, if you fail to treat other people the way you would like them to treat you, you're sinning. You're falling short of God's standard of perfection. Verse 12, so speak and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. See, now Jesus taught that you should keep the two great commandments and the Ten Commandments and the least commandments in the Sermon on the Mount, to keep the whole law, even in the spirit of it, as well as the letter. And he told his disciples, now you go into all the world and teach all nations to keep what I have taught you. So this is the law that comes down from God the Father. And Jesus taught it to the disciples, and the disciples taught it to the whole church. And it's all about God writing his laws in everybody's heart and mind. And it begins in the church. And God sent his Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit comes into your heart and puts God's love in there, and that's the living water that flows down the riverbed of God's law. Now, we need to be educated in God's law and keep it. so speak and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. It's the law of God. Speaking and doing, that's your fruit. You know, Jesus said that a good tree brings forth good fruit. A bad tree doesn't bring forth good fruit. It brings forth bad fruit. And what is your fruit? It's what you say and what you do. Let's go to chapter 4 and verse 11. Don't speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of his brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is only one lawgiver, and that's God the Father. There's one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. You're not the lawgiver. Now, the nations make laws, you know. The United States has a Supreme Court. The Congress makes the laws, and the court judges cases and makes decisions. But sometimes they make wrong decisions because they're not following God's law. There's only one lawgiver. And Mr. Armstrong occasionally would write a booklet in which he would say that man's laws on this point or that point violate the higher laws of God. God's laws outweigh the human laws. So when it comes to something like military service and war, or divorce and remarriage, Mr. Armstrong wrote that God's laws are higher than man's laws. And human beings are breaking God's laws and living in sin by doing certain things that they shouldn't be doing. And God's church was going to follow God's law. There's one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge someone else? Now, God the Father has turned over all of the judgment to Jesus, because Jesus became a human being. That's in John chapter 5. We won't go there, but God the Father is the lawgiver, and Jesus is the judge. And Jesus is in perfect harmony with God the Father. Then let's go over to 1 John chapter 2 in verse 3. And hereby we know that we know God if we keep his commandments. That's how we know that we're on the right track, that we're in harmony with God, if we keep his commandments. Because God is writing his laws in our hearts and minds through the Holy Spirit. And if anybody doesn't have God's Holy Spirit, then he's not a true member of the true church yet. No, we have to become true members of the true church. We need to be led by God's Holy Spirit. That's in Romans chapter 8, by the way. He who says, I know him, but doesn't keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is being perfected. That's how we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him, you know, who claims to be a Christian, should walk the same way that Jesus walked. Live the same way that Jesus lived. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8. Though he was a son, yet Jesus learned obedience by the things that he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey him. Now we're supposed to obey Jesus, you see. We're supposed to live the same way he did in the way that he taught. The way which was in complete harmony with God's law. Both the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. Both. And not to depart from that straight narrow path that leads to eternal life. In Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10, this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel in those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their heart, and I will be their God and they will be my people. Now God's church is going to be keeping God's laws and living according to God's laws and teaching them and talking about them and helping one another to live by God's law. Now let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Paul said, "Don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship does righteousness have with unrighteousness? What communion does light have with darkness? And what concord does Christ have with Belial or Baal? What part does he who believes have with an infidel? And what agreement does the temple of God have with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said," this is quoting from Ezekiel 37:27, "I will dwell in them and walk in them and will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Don't touch the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." Chapter 7, verse 1, "Having these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." God wants us to build character and to become like Him and to develop the mind of Christ and the mind of God the Father and the mind that the apostles had and that they taught the original church. And don't depart from that teaching. Keep God's law of love and the two great commandments and the Ten Commandments and the spirit of the law, the whole thing. Over in Romans 13, verse 8, "Don't owe anybody anything except to love one another." In other words, pay your bills, pay your taxes. He's talking about that earlier in the chapter. Pay your taxes. Don't owe anybody anything. Be debt-free. But there's one debt you need to continue to pay, and that is to love other people. For he who loves fulfills the law. For these commandments, thou shalt not commit adultery, you shall not kill, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, and if there's any other commandment, it's briefly summarized by this one commandment, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. In other words, the last six of the Ten Commandments are subdivisions of the second great commandment. If you love your neighbor as yourself, you will be keeping the last six of the Ten Commandments. And along the same lines, if you keep the first great commandment, to love God with all of your heart, you'll be keeping the first four of the Ten Commandments, which are subdivisions of the first great commandment. And the first great commandment is greater than the second great commandment. To love God is even greater than to love people, because Jesus called it the first great commandment. That's the greatest commandment of all. That's why Jesus said, if you put your family or your friends or even yourself before Him, you can't be His disciple. That's in Luke 14:26. And Matthew 10, about verse 37, I believe it is. You put God first. In other words, always obey God. And if people criticize you for obeying God, you obey God anyway. You put God first. Like if they criticize you for keeping the Sabbath. No, keep the Sabbath. It's one of the Ten Commandments. But then love other people anyway. But you put God first, you see. Keep the holy days, keep the Sabbath day, because God wants you to. Verse 10, love works no ill to his neighbor. Love doesn't hurt anybody. in the previous chapter, the last verse says, don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. If your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him a drink. For in doing so, you'll heap coals of fire on his head. Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. A good tree bears good fruit. So in 13 verse 10, love does no harm to its neighbor. Love is the fulfilling of the law. If you have God's Spirit in you, you'll bear the fruit of love and joy and peace and the fruits of the Spirit. And that's the living water that just flows down the riverbed of the Ten Commandments. All right, a couple more scriptures, then we're done. Luke 10, verse 25. A certain lawyer stood up and said, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, what's written in the law? What do you find there? And he answering said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and all your soul, and all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live. And then over in Luke 18 and verse 18, someone else asked Jesus the same question. Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And in verse 20, Jesus said, you know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Don't bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. So that's part of the answer to how to have eternal life also. Keep the Ten Commandments, as well as keep the two great commandments. It all goes together. As I said, God sent His Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And that's the power of love. There's a verse in Romans 5, verse 5 that says, God sheds His love into our hearts by His Holy Spirit. And in 2 Timothy 1, 7, God gives us the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. God's Spirit gives us that. How did Jesus have the power to live a perfect life? Through the power of God's Holy Spirit. Now, God wants to teach us that way also, so that we can live the same way He did, by the power of God's Holy Spirit. So we need to go to God daily in prayer and ask Him to give us the daily bread that we need of His Holy Spirit. In fact, we're in Luke. I'll just turn back to Luke 11 on that point, because it's there. In verse 9, Luke 11, verse 9, He was teaching His disciples to pray. And I say to you, ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks will find, and to him that knocks, it shall be opened. And in verse 10, if you then, being human beings who are imperfect, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? So ask Him, and He'll give you every day the Holy Spirit. In Romans chapter 8, Paul said that those who are led by God's Holy Spirit are the children of God. And if anybody doesn't have God's Holy Spirit, he's none of His. Now, God's people are those who are connected to God through the Holy Spirit. God sent the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts there, chapter 2. Now, if there are any people on the face of the earth today who are connected to God and have God's Holy Spirit in them, they are the true members of the true church. And they'll be bearing the fruit of God's Holy Spirit. God's Spirit will give them a good attitude and the help that they need to walk the way that Jesus taught, according to God's law. and they won't be breaking any one of God's commandments habitually as a way of life. And John explained that in 1 John, that if God's Spirit is in you, you'll be obeying Him. And if you stumble and fall, you go to God and confess your sin, and He's faithful and just to forgive you. But God's people don't habitually, as a way of life, sin and break God's commandments. They're striving to keep God's commandments. And we've got a song about that. The proof of a Christian is the fruit of the Spirit. A Christian isn't perfect, but he's growing toward that goal. So we've tried to describe now in this Bible study that God's people are keeping His commandments with the help of God Himself through the Holy Spirit in them to obey God. That's striving to live by the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. And Jesus gave that great commission and told the disciples to teach everybody what I taught you and go into all the world and teach that way. And I will be with you even to the end of the age. So let's walk according to God's law as Jesus taught the church to do.